Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Lifeway. My name is Tiffany Venegas, and I'm so excited to be here and just have an opportunity to share a few things that I think God's laid on my heart, and I really hope to bring some hope to all of you. Before I jump in, let's make sure to welcome all of our listeners that will be listening on the podcast today, so give them a hand. I was going to say, hey, Dad, but, you know, it's awkward. He'll be listening later. I also want to give a big shout-out and just a thank you to Pastor Andrew and to Shyla for allowing me and Costanzo the opportunity to get up here and to speak. We don't take that lightly. I'm really thankful for that. I also want to give you a shout-out for the incredibly fast turnaround that it is to sing and then come and speak every week. So you never know until you walk in their shoes, right? So thank you guys so much for that. I really appreciate it. So today I'm really excited because the approach that I have is I just want to share some hope with you and some things that God has really done in my life and just talk to you kind of as if you were in my living room and I'm talking with you about some things. So the title of today's message is Overcoming Debt. And this particular topic is really near and dear to my heart because as I'll share in just a moment, our testimony with Costanzo and I has been a really challenging first 5 years of our, we'll be married 5 years in next Friday, actually, in regards to debt. But I have so much hope because God has done some really incredible things in our lives. And so I just want to be able to share some of that hope with you guys today. So I hope you can just kind of get comfortable and just listen. And I hope that God would really speak something into your heart today. So before I kind of jump into the nitty-gritty of this, I actually want to share a little bit more of the testimony that I have and the story that Costanzo and I have. So he just touched on it a little bit if you were here last week and talked a little bit about starting a budget and what a zero-balanced budget looks like. And I just want to really take a second to encourage anybody who is willing or wants to get on this journey Monday night to join us. We're going to just sit down together, nothing that is scary or uncomfortable, but really to help you if you're looking for help with what this looks like to set up a budget and to really start the steps of financial freedom. So that's this Monday night at our HQ building. We would absolutely love to have you there and to be a part of helping you as so many have helped us. So let me start by expanding a little bit more on the testimony and the story that Sten started last week. So before I can jump into our financial journey, I have to tell you a little bit about our financial background. So Costanzo is my husband, as I mentioned before, and we grew up very, very different, had very different backgrounds in lots of ways. I grew up in church, and Costanzo did not. And so along with some of those changes, as we began dating about, I think it's been about 7 years now, and Costanzo had given his life to God before we met, and so I found this really amazing Christian man that's so handsome, and I was so thankful that God really blessed me with all of these things. And as is normal, you know, you start dating and everything is, you know, like flowers and rainbows and unicorns and everything is so great. And then as things start to get real, you kind of have to start to realize, like, okay, life is going to change, you know, and we had discussed that, like, we knew that we had prayed about it. We knew that we were the people that God had for us to marry. And so we had talked about that, but then obviously some really real conversations needed to start to happen as we started to look forward in our future. I am an over-planner. I literally started a book about marriage in your golden years a couple years ago, and I'm clearly not in my golden years, but I just want to be prepared. So I like to plan ahead. I know that's really weird. It's okay. Actually, it was an audiobook, and he woke up in the car like, what are you listening to? But I like to be prepared. So that also it plays a role in the way that I've handled my finances since I was pretty little. And so when I was really young, my mom actually has her master's in finance and economics, and she really started to instill some financial wisdom and nuggets into me when I was really little, which I'm so thankful for. My first job, I got certified as a babysitter before I was old enough to work, and I officially got a job working for my mom in the yard and around the house. And it was official because I, for real, guys, had like a time card that she had me fill out. And her eyebrows like, dang, mom. But I appreciated it. She taught me so much from those things. And I learned about, you know, responsibility. And at the end of the pay period, she'd check off my hours and I would get paid. So it wasn't really allowance. I, for real, had to work for this. But I was really thankful. And when I was young, so, you know, like probably early teenager, around 13, 14, I started an envelope system before I knew who Dave Ramsey was. And in my top drawer, I had my envelopes in there, and I put my cash in different envelopes for the different things I needed. At that time, I was blessed and didn't have to pay bills. It was just stuff I wanted, which was really nice. But I started doing those things when I was really young. And as I was reflecting on this message, I even thought about, I remember being at the mall with one of my best friends, and I was very frugal. I don't like to say cheap. I was very frugal. And I remember wanting this sweater and leaving the store, and she was like, just get the sweater. It's $10. And I was like, oh, I don't know, $10? Like, and so I was very, like, it mattered a lot to me. I, you know, most teenagers cared about, like, name brands and looking cool and wearing the latest shoes. And I, for real, had the old lady statement of, like, the quality at Walmart is just as good. I really believed it. I kind of still do, right? So I was just a little abnormal. My brother was the one who dressed and looked cool, and I was wearing Walmart. It was fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Got good stuff. So I tell you that to say, to kind of give you a picture of sort of who I was in relation to finances. Now, Costenzio, on the other hand, and let me stop and say this. We've talked about all of these things before I give you this message, and he's okay with me sharing all of this so that you don't have to sit there and be really awkward, like, oh, that's going to be an uncomfortable drive home. It'll be okay. We talked first, so don't worry. But Costenzio had a very, very different approach to money, a different background. He is a really good-looking guy, but he also likes really expensive things. You know, he likes name brands. We were just in Italy on vacation, and he was like in heaven shopping there. And I'm like, you don't need that. You don't need that. Where's that money come from? So he just had a little bit of a different background growing up, but he looks good for it, I guess, right? So we were very different. And when things got serious and we realized that we wanted to get married and this was God's plan for us, we had to have a conversation. And Sens really had to approach me, and I really respected the way that he handled this conversation, because I'll never forget, we were in my room, and he shared with me, you know, Tiffany, I need to talk to you about my finances. Mind you, at this point, just remember who it was. I didn't have debt. The only debt I actually had, I had paid off my car very early, and I had a small amount of student loans. My parents supported and helped me a lot for college, and I only had to take a very small amount out and paid that off in my first year of teaching. I was a teacher. And so I didn't have anything. So he had this conversation with me, and it was a very somber conversation. And so he started off by telling me that he, you know, wanted to marry me and loved me, but that he had a huge amount of debt to pay. And so as he mentioned last week, that was about $70,000 of debt. And so when Costenzio shared that with me in my room, and I had to ask him, I said, hey, do you remember? I can't fully remember. And he said, yeah, I remember. He started to cry because it was like mind-shattering for me. And as much as I'd like to say, like, I was a hopeless romantic and no amount of money can keep us apart, that was not how I was feeling at all. In fact, I was, like, processing, like, is this something I want to do? Can I afford to do this? What will my life look like? Like, that's how my mind works. And so, sorry. It ended up, I committed, okay? But it was hard because for me, it was very logical and practical. And I, you know, $70,000 was a huge amount of money. For me, you know, I was thinking, how could I mean, I don't make that much money. How will we ever, like, live and pay that off? And so in that moment, I had to really pray about the situation and think about it. And I'm happy to say I committed. And I'm so thankful that I did that. But it was really hard because in that moment, I realized that there were going to be, like, significant lifestyle things that had to change, and you know, we would get married and have a wedding, and would that be more? And all of these questions kind of raced through my mind. But I committed to do this, and I knew that, you know, if this was God's will, that he would make a way. And so We got married, and I'm so thankful for that. He's an amazing husband, and God has really blessed us. But we, you know, we got back from our honeymoon, and we were very traditional. Then we, like, literally hadn't lived a day in our apartment. We moved in and got into our apartment, and, you know, then life starts to happen. You kind of, you have your budget, your day-to-day things that you're looking at. You have your rent, and I didn't tell you this, but I lived with my parents until I got married, so I literally, like, went to college in-state, the lowest amount of tuition I could. I wanted to save. I worked really hard, and I wanted to be, like, financially set. And so those were, I didn't necessarily want to go to this college, but it was cheap, so that's where I went and got my degree. So when we got married, you know, things kind of got really real really quick for me. And so I realized, you know, we started to pay about $500 a month on the debt that was there, which was really significant for us. We were both in education, and $500 was a lot when, you know, we looked at our budget. But I very quickly realized after making these payments of $500 a month that we were literally pretty much only touching interest on this massive debt. And interest is something that it's like, I feel like interest is such an evil, evil thing, right? Because we were sacrificing and paying all this money, but literally flushing that money away every single month. We saw, like, no change. And so in that moment, things got very real for me. So I brought this up to show you that this is kind of an example of what I felt like shortly after we got married. You're not a ball and chain, okay? But the financial debt was real for me. And maybe, you know, not everyone looks at it the same way, but I felt like I had taken on something that just, I felt like I was drowning. I felt like I was never going to get out of this. We weren't wasting money. You know, I didn't feel like we were being unwise. We never stopped bringing our tithes, but yet I had this, like, heavy burden and heavy weight on me. And shortly after that, what happened was I started to really resent the debt, but I also started to resent STENS. That's what I call them for short. And that was a really difficult thing because I knew that that was not right. I knew that Costanzo had already repented for, you know, the way that he had handled money back in college and, you know, wasn't necessarily wise. And he knew all those things. He had repented. We had really made changes. He had made significant changes before we ever got married. But I legitimately resented it. And I'm not always the wisest person, and so I would ask questions like, well, what did you do with that money? Did you use all your student loan money just for student loans? And then I would pry and pry, and I'd find out, like, well, and he's a very honest, poor guy. He was like, well, I did go to Cancun on spring break with some of that money. And I was like, so I paid for your spring break? Now I'm paying for it, and you went on spring break. I didn't go on spring break. I went to school here, and you went to school in Arizona. And I would get so mad because I felt like it was so unfair. And I felt this weight that was just crazy. And what I didn't realize was that the enemy was finding a way into our marriage through this because I genuinely resented it. And then what I did unintentionally was I brought condemnation on Stens for something that he had already repented for and was changing in his life, but I felt like the injustice was done to me. And so things were not great, you know, like I realized very quickly, like, God, I know this is not your will for my life, for Stens' life, for our marriage. And so we had to make some really radical changes. And so we, you know, we sat down and we talked about, you know, this is not going to do. Like, mathematically, we're going to be paying this off for the next 40 years of our lives. And so we decided to pray, and we decided to ask God for his direction, and we did, and he brought direction. And so we made some really significant changes. We sat down, we looked at our budget, we looked at all of the numbers, and we faced the brutal facts of what we had to pay. And I say we because at this point it wasn't his and it wasn't mine, it was ours. We agreed upon that. Like, we needed to, as a team, as a married couple, knock this out and get in the will of God. And so in that time we made a really radical change. We, after about 8 months, we decided that we were going to move from our apartment, and we moved in with my brother-in-law, who's Costanzo's twin brother, and cut our rent in about half. And so we knew this was, you know, it was going to be a lifestyle change. We were going to move in, and we'd save a lot of money, and it would probably be kind of hard, but I didn't realize some of the challenges that that would present until we really moved in. And so I say this in all love because I appreciate Zoe, and he's an amazing brother-in-law, and he was great. But shortly after I moved in, I realized that living in someone else's home meant that it was not just our home. So I would come home, and my mother-in-law would be in the backyard suntanning. And I was like, oh, hey, Kathy, okay. And I would come home, and other people would be around, and you know, his girlfriend would come over on the weekends, and the dog would be there. And I got really resentful during this time because I felt like now, like, I've made these sacrifices, and I'm living with someone else. And God had to work on my heart to realize that when you commit to something, it's not always going to be easy. But God's plan will bring about fruit and rewards. And so we made that sacrifice, and God made such an incredible way out of it. And we were able to pay so much more on our debt and really start seeing progress. And we also, you know, did some other things. We lowered our budget. We, like, brought things down as low as we could possibly go, like, so that we weren't wasting money. We weren't spending on extra clothes or things that we didn't need. And we didn't do that perfectly, but it was something we committed to. We also, Costanzo drove around a beat-up old car for a long time that was not good-looking. Yesterday, we were walking through a parking lot, and he saw a Mercedes, like, oh, I want that. That was not what he had, okay? So remember his fancy taste. He had to make some really significant sacrifices. And people didn't necessarily understand that, you know, like driving around a beat-up car, but you both have good jobs, and living with your brother-in-law, but you both have good jobs. And that had to be okay with us. We didn't have to impress anybody or prove anything to anyone. We needed to do what God's will was for our life. And so we prioritized the debt. We did this together. We got on the same page. We fell. We messed up. I got a bad attitude. We prayed. We got back up, and we kept going. And in all of that obedience and in me surrendering some of those heart things to God, he continued to just bless us and make a way in so many ways that I don't even have time to share with you how much his favor blessed us. So I say all of those things in this long testimony because I want you to know that it's going to be really hard work if you want to get rid of the shackles and the chains and the weight that debt feels like. And I know that it feels that way. I know that it's hard to face it, but there is a way out, and God's will is that we live in freedom. So let's talk about what are some of the steps to getting the right mindset, to getting in a place where we can get rid of this debt, okay? So first of all, we have to establish that it is God's will for us to live in financial freedom. It is not God's will for us to live in any kind of bondage, whether it's bondage from sin or sickness or depression or finances. It's no different. He wants us to live in freedom and in abundance. And he said that he's come to bring us life and to bring it abundantly. So we have to establish that. So let's talk a little bit about a couple of things before we get into sort of the nitty-gritty. A couple weeks ago, it was mentioned that financial success is 20% knowledge and 80% behavior. And that's in your notes if you want to fill that out. So it's 20% knowledge and 80% behavior. And you may or may not agree with that at first thought, but think with me for just a second. You know that you shouldn't spend more than you have. Head knowledge, right? But we spend more than we have, right? So it's about, we need to know a little bit about numbers, right? But really, it's about our behavior, and it's about discipline. I mean, think about this for an example. We all know that we should eat well and exercise, right? That's head knowledge. If it was all about head knowledge, we would all be in fantastic shape, living our best life and looking awesome, right? But unfortunately, we make bad choices. We eat the cookie when we know we really shouldn't be eating the cookie. It's not about if we know to do it or not. It's about our discipline and our behaviors. And finances are no different than that. So we have to really think about it as not just math and numbers. That's an important part. But so much of this is about your behavior and your commitment and the will that God has given us to do this. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." We're meant to live as overcomers. We are not meant to live in bondage in any area of our life. The world is going to tell us that debt is okay. They're going to influence us to, you need a new car, and you need this, and you should get a house and make payments on that. I know you can't afford it now, but it'll eventually work out, and you got a raise, and so you should go splurge. And I mean, after all, YOLO, right? You only live once, okay? But think about that. Think about what society tells us. In your notes, it says, if you tell a lie or spread a myth often enough, loud enough, and long enough, the myth becomes accepted as the truth. Think about the lie that we've been told that debt is okay, that we can buy things and pay them off later, you know, for 5 easy payments of what, all of those things that we, they creep into our mind. And how many times do we watch commercials and we're told you deserve this and you deserve that? And secretly, I believe that the enemy is infiltrating into a place where then we wake up one morning and we realize that are living in bondage and anxiety and in fear, and it's not God's will for stuff that we don't even need. We're not of the world. And I really want us to think about this. Like, that is the message of our society. But God has called us to be in the world, but not of the world. He's called us to, as mentioned last week, live like no one else so that we can live like nobody else. And so remember that God's will is for us to live in that freedom. And so as we establish that, think about this scripture. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." It doesn't get much more clear than that. When we owe, we are slave to someone or to something. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 7 through 8, it says this, "Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed," bummer, right? "Revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." And then listen to this, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." Think about this. These scriptures are so clear. God is telling us, owe no one anything. And so I share that, but I don't share that to bring condemnation if maybe you're living in the debt that we had. I share that to bring conviction, but to also bring hope that that's a real thing, that it's God's will for us to live in only owing love to each other and nothing else, to not carry these weights all the time. And so if we can all believe that, if you believe that it's God's will for you to live in financial freedom, like old school, say amen. Amen, right? Okay, so we've established that. Woo! And even if you didn't, you said amen, now you believe me, okay? So we believe it's God's will to get out of debt. So now, if you truly believe that, if you believe that that is the will of God for your life, then you believe that it's a possible thing. Not an easy thing, but a possible thing. So let's talk about what some of the steps are to getting out of debt, debt that may seem insurmountable. Now, before I tell you some of these steps, I also want to tell you something else I didn't share earlier. When Cosenzio and I got married, we had about $70,000 of debt. But in the meantime, things happen, right? Things don't always go as planned. Cosenzio ruptured his Achilles tendon playing basketball, and so that was about $6,000 that we had not planned on. And then I had got a promotion, which is a super awesome blessing, and I was so thankful for that. And I went from being a dean of students and was asked if I would be the principal at the school that I was at. And so I got that promotion, but along with that, I didn't have my principal certification, my license. I was planning to get my master's, but I didn't have it yet. So I needed to go back to school in order to have that. And so that was another about $13,000. But in that, listen, we didn't plan for that. But God blessed us. It was actually $13,000 for us. It was double that, but my company reimbursed half of that. And then Costanzo and I, through this plan, worked really hard to pay that off. But I tell you that to share, like, things were also coming along this journey. Costanzo's car eventually, like, was that beater he was driving, like, for real, like, had to go. And we had to get something new, and we got a used car. I took that. He took my old car. Thank you. And so we had that, and that was another about $8,000 that we put into that. And so all in all, guys, I want you to understand our debt in our marriage was about $94,000, okay? So think about that as I share some of these steps, because I want you to understand, like, this is doable. God can do this. So the first thing that we need to do, guys, is we need to be current on all of our bills, okay? So in this process, you're not paying your light bill. You got to pay your light bill. You have to be current on your bills. So you've got to sit down, and you've got to first identify your debts, and you've got to be current on your bills. And then, as we talked about last week, you've got to save $1,000 for your emergency fund, okay? Those are your first steps. And those are not easy steps, but they're doable steps. So get there first. And then we're going to start this thing that we call the debt snowball. Okay, the debt snowball is what we're going to start, and we're going to dig into that. Now, here's where I want you to kind of stick with me, because if you're a big math person, you might not like what I have to say about the debt snowball. But remember, 20% behavior, or I'm sorry, 20% head knowledge, 80% behavior. So this is what the debt snowball is in effect, but we'll dig into it deeper. It's basically a method that helps you to stay motivated while you're paying off your debt by starting with your smallest debt first and then working your way to your largest debt. And you may be saying, hold up, doesn't it make sense to mathematically pay your largest debt first with the highest amount of interest and get that out of the way? Wouldn't you save more money that way? Maybe. But here's the thing, if you begin with the biggest one, what happens so many times is you start to lose steam because you see nothing changing. It's such a big number, and you're paying, like our $500, and you're feeling like nothing's happening. So you lose steam, and you end up oftentimes quitting before you ever get close to the finish line. So mathematically, you're right. It makes more sense to pay the highest interest. But this is about our behavior. If we were only basing it on math, you wouldn't have about 70% of Americans in major debt and living paycheck to paycheck. So those are quick things that you need to do, starting with your smallest one first, to pump you up. It's about motivation. It's about momentum. And let me tell you, as we work on this debt, I would sit down at the computer, and when I saw that lowest one go to zero, it was so incredibly inspiring to me because I saw real progress. Every time I started to get discouraged or felt like I wasn't going to be able to do this, I realized that, like, this is a possible thing. I watched this small debt go to zero. I can do this with the help of God. So I hope that you're with me and you believe this, because the steps are not really very difficult. It's just about the belief and knowing that God can do this. So let's start with step number one. Step number one is that first you have to list your debts from smallest to largest. We can all do that, okay? So you come to the table with all the debts you have. If it's medical, if it's school, if it's a house, if it's whatever debts you have, you're going to bring those to the table and you're going to list them out from smallest to largest. And if you take a look up here on the screen, this is just kind of an example of what that might look like. So you have your debts, your total payoff, so that's the amount that, in order to, like, wipe it away completely, that's what you owe. And then you've got to list out your minimum payments. So step number two is that you're going to make minimum payments on all of your debts except for the smallest one. So you're going to make all of the minimum payments in that far right column except for the smallest debt. The smallest debt, you're going to throw as much money as humanly, godly possible on that debt, okay? And that's the one you're starting with. So you might be saying to me right now, I don't have any extra money to throw on that debt. I can barely make the minimum payments. Listen, this is where you got to get radical. Like, there are no shortcuts. There's no easy way. There's a way, but it's not easy. So in this process, guys, this is where, like, we realized we don't have any more money to throw on this. We've got to get radical. So some suggestions: sell stuff that you don't need. If you really went through your house and looked, I guarantee that we all have stuff we don't need. Maybe have a rummage sale. And so what if you're like, that's a few hundred dollars? Every single penny matters in your journey to freedom. If you have a boat or if you have a motorcycle or whatever it is that you may have that you don't really need right now, it's going to hurt a little bit. But let it hurt, because I promise you the freedom and the payoff later is so worth it. So if you got to sell a boat, sorry guys, or ladies, sell your boat, okay? If you've got to have a rummage sale, have a rummage sale. This one might be tough, but if you need to get a second job or something part-time, do it. This is not a forever thing. This is delayed gratification so that you can have freedom later on. Here's the other thing that you need to prepare for that you may or may not think about. You need to mentally prepare for other people to not understand this journey. And in fact, they may even criticize you. As you drive around a beater, or Stenza and I didn't, when we got married, we didn't even, like, go out and buy hardly anything for furniture. We took my parents' couch and his mom's kitchen table, finally gave that back. Like, we took things that people were willing to give us because we realized we didn't have money to go out and buy new furniture sets and finance those things, and we were not adding one more cent of debt to us. So that's okay, but people may not get it. They may see that you have a good job and expect that you show off those things, but that's not necessarily God's will. Remember that you don't have to believe that myth and that lie. You do what's best. You do what God asks you to do, and what's best for you and your family and what anybody else says or does not matter. But be prepared that people will tell you what they think that you should do, right? You stick to what God tells you to do, and that's what matters, and that's how you get this freedom. And then lastly, as you're doing this, throwing as much money on as you can, guys, remember to pray. And I know that sounds maybe elementary, but in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." If this was going to be easy, God, if the things that are worth it were going to be easy, we wouldn't need the reminder to not get weary in doing good. But you do. You've got to get on your knees. I remember every time that resentment would creep up and I would start to feel discouraged, I had to pray through those things. I had to ask God for courage and for peace and for motivation when I felt like so discouraged. I remember getting a bonus at the end of one of my work years and knowing, you know, we brought our tithes, we were faithful in that, that was not an option. But feeling like, I really deserve this bonus, but I know that it should go on our debt. And I had to pray in that circumstance because I knew to do right, but I did not want to do it. I wanted to go have my own shopping spree and reward myself, right? But that delayed gratification, I promise you, will pay off, but you've got to pray through that and pray for strength. So step number three, and it's the final step, is that you are going to repeat this method as you plow your way through debt. So remember, smallest debt first, throw in everything you can on it while you're making your minimums, but then you plow your way through, and the more you pay off, the more that money grows. And it's literally like a snowball. So you're imagining you start with your minimum payment, but once you've paid off that left side, that diagnostic, now you take everything you've been paying there and you throw it on your next minimum payment of your hospital bill. And so you magically, it feels like you got a raise because you're taking all that money and throwing it on the next debt. And then once that hospital bill is gone and you've paid that off, you take all that money and your snowball is growing and it's like incredibly motivating and exciting. And you throw it on your next debt until you become genuinely debt-free. And it is totally possible. God can do this as we are faithful. It's difficult, but it is doable. And so even in your notes, there's a, if you want some help, if you're like, I really hate math, there's a website that you can go to that's a debt snowball calculator that you can just type these numbers in and it will do this for you. You don't have to do that, but it's a tool for you if you want to use it. This is really practical stuff, but it has an incredible spiritual impact on your life. And so I want to kind of go back to that beginning part of our story. These are easy steps. They are easy to follow steps, difficult to do steps. But I want to go back to our story and our testimony. So we established that over these years, we've got about $94,000 of like insane debt, right? And so what I want to share with you is that through all of this, through continued prayer, through failure and getting back up again, Stenza and I got on the same page. And when we got off, we prayed and got back on the same page. And we plugged and plugged and plugged away at this plan and worked and prayed and trusted God and were faithful. We had this massive debt. We had ups and downs with this. We had discouragement and we had encouragement. It was truly a journey, a bit of a roller coaster. Sometimes, guys, we spent money that we shouldn't have. I didn't always make the best choices. Sometimes I went and bought the dress because I felt I deserved it, okay? No one's going to be perfect in this journey, but it is something that if you continue to pray and get back up again, just like you do in your spiritual walk, we sin, we repent, we get back up. We fall, but God brings us back. If we're humble and we're submitted to him, you do not have to live in this kind of bondage. You don't have to wake up with anxiety or fear or worry about what your future holds for you or your spouse or your kids. There is freedom that God wants you to live in. So Stenz and I continued to work on that and worked through our frustrations, and we knew that if we could follow God's plan, that we could get out of this. And so what I want to share with you today is something that's incredibly powerful. About 4 months ago, we've continued to work on this, by the grace of God and by the power of Jesus Christ, we've made our very last payment on our entire debt. and we owe absolutely nothing on that debt. And I share that with you not because it's some great accomplishment that we made, because here's what I want you to understand. It was not possible without the power of God, without believing that he could help us to do this, without following the plan that he had, and without believing that for our lives. And as I made that last click, man, that's a powerful click, I clicked that button, and it was incredible because every weight and every shackle for the last 4.5 years that we had been wearing and struggling with was absolutely gone. And I laid that down, and I remember just thanking God. And in the last 4 months, I can't tell you how much I feel inadequate to thank God for this, because as we were obedient, guys, God promoted us. He took care of us. He brought blessings that I knew were not our doing. He was faithful. Faithful to his word and faithful to our small acts of obedience. And it was the most freeing thing I can't even express to you. So I want you to understand, in 4.5 years, God took care of $94,000 of debt. And honestly, there's not been a day that I went hungry. There's not been a day that I wasn't able to put gas in my car. God took care of us. And so I want to just say, like, man, thank you, Jesus. But I want to encourage you that it's not just our story. There are so many people just like this that are able to do this and get out of it. And you know what? I don't worry about money. I know that things will come and jobs may change, but I know that the principle stays the same, that following God's plan for freedom in our lives, he will take care of us. He will take care of you. And I don't want to mislead you and say it will be easy, because it won't be easy, but I promise you it will be worth it. And in the next week, we have one more week in this session. You're going to learn a little bit more about then what God can do when you walk in this freedom. And it is spectacular. It's incredible. And it just baffles my mind how good God is, you guys. He's faithful. Things that are impossible for us are possible with God. In Galatians 6:9, I want to remind you of that verse. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." I just want to simply encourage you to not give up, to follow God's plan for your life, and to believe and know that he's faithful. So at this time, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around right now, I believe that the Spirit of God is gently convicting some of us. He may be speaking to your heart, and maybe it's difficult. Maybe you feel a sense of condemnation. That's not of God, but conviction is from him. So you may be feeling that. And know that that means he's working in your heart, and that he's able to set you free from whatever bondage you might be living in. For some of you, this may be the first change that you need to make in giving your life to Jesus. Maybe before any of this, you just need to repent and give God control of your life. To just surrender and say, you know, God, I'm sorry. I've been living the way that I wanted to live, but in this moment, before anything with money or anything else, I just want to surrender my life to you. If you say, I'm ready to make that decision today, I'm ready to surrender, to believe that he has a great plan for my life. I'm tired of carrying my sin, and I'm ready to commit everything to Jesus. With every head bowed right now, if that's where you're at, if you could just raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's hands all over. God is so good. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much. God, thank you for freedom. Thank you, God, that you have come to give life and to give it more abundantly, God. God, not for our financial gain or for stuff, but God, so that we can live in freedom. Thank you, God, that even bigger and greater than finances, God, you've come to set us free from sin. Jesus, you've come to fill us with your spirit. So God, for every person that has raised their hand, Jesus, I just thank you for them, and I pray that you would touch their heart. Stir up your spirit in them, Jesus. Encourage them, fill them, God. Jesus, I pray that you would help them to know how much you love them. God, that they would submit and surrender everything right now. God, you are so good. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.